Good morning. That wasn't bad, but I'm new. You got to do a little bit better. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My name is Pastor Anthony Boger. I bring you greetings from the California Pacific Conference and our Bishop, Grant Haguia, as well as our district superintendent, Mark Nakagawa. And I want to thank your pastor, Pastor Stacy Dixon, for the invitation. Let me begin by saying I am only wearing a robe because it's at her request. I'd rather be in blue jeans and tennis shoes. But I'm going to look official today, and I'm going to go with it. Is that all right? I am so pleased to be with you. The quality of worship, seeing the joy of the children's faces, hearing the choir that sings on tune and in key. Amen. I am just so grateful for that. Amen. Let's give them a hand this morning. This morning, your pastor told me that she's starting a series, and that series are on stories of Jesus in the Bible, and she sent me a list of scripture that I cannot touch. So she said, you can preach anything else, but you leave these alone. So fortunately, when I looked at my scripture text, I said, boy, it's not on her list, so we're going to be okay today. Amen. I want to thank you for your hospitality as well. Today, I'd like to take a few minutes before we enter into communion to talk about who is this man, Jesus? Who is this man, Jesus? And I would like to thank the reader for reading it, but to warm up, I want to go back to the scripture. I'm the New King James Version, looking at Matthew chapter 8 and looking at verses 23 through 27 once again. And if you have it, you can follow. If not, just to your hearing, my reading. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? The backstory is that Jesus was tired. He had been teaching and healing all day long, and as the evening came, the crowd still pressed upon him. And yet, day after day, he had ministered to them. He scarcely paused for food or rest. The malicious criticism and misrepresentation that came from the Pharisees made his labors much more severe and harassing. And now the close of the day found him so utterly wearied that he determined to seek retirement in some solitary place across the lake. He had dismissed the multitude, and the Bible says they took him, even as he was, into the boat, and hastily they went off. But they were not to depart alone. There were other little fishing boats lying near the shore, and these were quickly crowded with people and followed Jesus, eager to still see him and to hear him. The Savior was at last relieved from the pressure of the multitude, but he was tired. He was overcome with weariness and hunger. And I don't know about you, but when I read that and I hear that Jesus got tired, I'm sort of kind of comforted by the fact that not only am I tired at times from my labor, but my Master, my Savior, understands what it is to be weary, to be tired, to be hungry. And some of you know how you act when you're hungry and when you're tired. He laid down in the stern of the boat and soon fell asleep. It had been a calm, pleasant evening, and quiet rested upon the lake. But suddenly darkness overspread the sky. The wind wildly down the mountain gorges along the eastern shore, and a fierce tempest burst upon the lake. There was no meteorologist that said there's a storm coming. Here's a storm that caught them by surprise. Isn't that so much like life, that you find yourself in some kind of a boat? Sometimes a little boat, sometimes a great big boat, even a ship of circumstances. And then no matter what happens, a storm comes to mess up your peaceful ride in your boat. The sun had set, and the blackness of night settled down on the stormy sea. The waves lashed into fury by the howling winds. They dashed fiercely over the disciples' boat and threatened to engulf it. Those hardy fishermen who were so accustomed to handling their boat, now they were in trouble because it was completely out of control. They were helpless in the grasp of the tempest, and hope failed them as they saw the boat filling with water. Hung up in their own efforts to save themselves, they had forgotten one major fact: that it was Jesus who was on board their boat. Only when they saw that their labor was in vain and only death before them, then they remembered whose idea it was in the first place to get in the boat. Can you believe that Jesus, you know, he's God. He should know that a storm is coming. How would he put us in this boat? Isn't it real that in our helplessness and our despair, they cried, "Master, Master." But the dense darkness hid his face from them. Their voices were drowned by the roaring of the waters, and there was no reply to the cry. Doubt and fear started to get the best of them. Had Jesus forsaken them? Was he who had conquered disease and demons and even death powerless to help his disciples now? Was he unmindful of them in their distress? And again they call, but there is no answer except for the shrieking of the angry blast. The boat is beginning to sink, and in a moment, and apparently, they will be swallowed up by the angry waters. And suddenly a flash of lightning pierces the darkness, and the disciples see Jesus sleeping like a baby in the bosom of a mother's love. Undisturbed by the tempest, in amazement and despair, they exclaim, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Master, we're in this boat, these circumstances, and it's a big problem, and there's a storm around here, and how dare you sleep on us when we're in trouble? Get up, Jesus. Don't you care? Isn't that the cry of so many people who are in trouble? Where are you, God? Don't you care that I am sinking, that I'm in trouble, that I have a problem? And the cry arouses Jesus, and as the lightning's glare reveals him, they see the peace of heaven in his face. They read in his face tender love, self-forgetfulness. Turning to him, they cry, "Lord, save us, we perish." One prophet says, never a soul uttered that cry unheeded. As the disciples grasped their oars to try one more time to save themselves, Jesus arises and he stands in the midst of the disciples while the tempest rages, the waves break over them, and the lightning illumines his face. And I can imagine that Jesus lifts up one of his hands, because this is not a two-hand problem. He lifts up one hand. This is a minor problem. He opens his mouth and says commandingly to the angry sea, "Peace." Like in, "Shut up." "Be still." For the young folk, "Get a grip." The storm ceases, as if someone had put a top on a top of boiling water. The billows sink to rest, the clouds roll away, and the stars shine forth. And finally, the boat is resting upon a quiet sea. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus asked sorrowfully, "Why are you so fearful? Have you no faith?" A hush falls upon the disciples. Even Peter didn't attempt to express the awe that he filled, that filled his heart. Now understand this, that when Jesus was awakened to meet the storm, he was in perfect peace. Jesus wasn't concerned about the boat. He wasn't concerned about the storm. There was no trace of fear in word or look. There was no fear in his heart. Jesus rested not in the possession of the almighty power, but it was not as the master of earth and sea and sky that he remained in quiet. He had laid that power down, and he said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." He trusted in his Father's power. It was faith, faith in God's love and faith in God's care that Jesus rested. And the power of that word which stilled the storm was the power of the Almighty God. As Jesus rested by faith in the Father's care, so we are to rest in the care of our Savior. If the disciples had only trusted in him, they would have been kept in perfect peace. Their fear in the time of danger revealed their unbelief. How often is this experience ours? When the storms of life are raging, when the tempest of temptation roars, and you can hardly tell the day from night, when fierce lightnings flash and the waves sweep over you, the clouds of doubt begin to gather. When nothing seems to be going right. Unemployment, divorce, death, sickness, debt. We battle with the storm alone. We try to fix our own problems, forgetting that there is one who can help us. We dare ask that stupid question, "Don't you care, Jesus? God, where are you?" We trust our own strength till our hope is lost, and usually we are ready to perish. Only then, after we've suffered, after we've struggled, after we've given our every effort, and then we say, don't you care that I perish? Well, I want you to know today, don't you ever forget who sent you on the boat. Call upon him today. Call upon him this morning. He'll hear your cry. Whether you're on land or whether you're on sea, on the mountain or in the valley, his ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear. His arm is not too short that he cannot intervene. If we have the Savior in our hearts, there is no need to fear. And that's a good place to say amen. Amen. Living faith in the Redeemer will smooth the sea of life. It will deliver us from the danger in the way that he knows best. So as I remind you and come quickly to my close, our well-intentioned resolutions will not calm our storms. Intellectual reasonings won't do it. All sorts of willpower fall short, and you will only become tired, and you'll become worn, and you will become defeated. But won't there be someone today to call on my Jesus today? He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He'll lock the lion's jaws. He'll jump into your fiery furnaces. He will part your Red Seas. He will heal your body. He'll stand in the midst of the unexpected storms of life and tell the winds and the waves to get off of your back. If you want to know, does he care? He cared enough to leave a throne in glory and to be humiliated by ignorant man. He cared enough to walk the road of Calvary's mountain to be nailed to a cross just for you and me. He cared enough to sacrifice his life that your sins might be forgiven. He cared enough to get you out of those strange places and off the streets and off of alcohol and off of drugs and out of those bad relationships. Yes, Jesus cares. And after Jesus calmed the storms, the disciples looked at one another in awe, and they were amazed, Bill. They were all thinking the same thing, but nobody dared to ask. Then out of nowhere, it came out. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? I don't know about you, but I've had some circumstances in my life that I thought that Jesus completely forgot about me. And then he shows up and he tells the storms of my life to peace, be still. Lastly, I ask you, has there ever been a circumstance in your life where when you look back over your life, you say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be? Have you seen God's hand work in such a way in your life that you knew that it wasn't the preacher, it wasn't the doctor, it wasn't the lawyer, but it was God himself who intervened and saved you from that situation? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves and the circumstances in my life will obey his voice? If you believe in this Jesus today, if you have seen his hand work in your life in times past, would you just simply raise your hand as a testimony and a witness that God has been working in your behalf? Father, you see the hands that are raised as a testimony to your power working in the lives of real people. And now we ask that for those who have not had this kind of experience will somehow yield to their hard hearts and open up to your willingness to love them, forgive them, and extend them grace so that they can see that you love them, for you are a greater Savior than we can ever be a sinner. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Let the people of God say, amen and amen.